Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, comedian and mum to two very lively boys. Each episode, I chat with amazing women from the world of comedy, bringing you a non-judgy dose of mum and tonic, how to stay afloat, laugh through the chaos, and be bloody great women. Hello and welcome to another fine episode of the Funny Mummies with me, your host, comedian, mum of two very picky boys, Hattie Ashdown. Joining me today is a funny mummy first timer. She's a writer, podcaster and new mum. You may know her most famously for her very successful podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime. They spoke to lots of famous people, including myself. But mums of older kids would have also enjoyed this guest's writings on CBBC with programmes like Waffle Dog, The Wonder Dog, as well as a long writing list of credits that include Wolf Blood, The House of Ornibus, don't know if I'm saying that right, Trolleyed, Paddington on Nickelodeon, The Dumping Ground, Miranda, My Such Fun Celebration. It's the award-winning Hannah George. And on this show, it was a really lovely, warm chat. I love Hannah. She's so easy to talk to. And we talked about unhelpful things that people say in public. Voice notes, love or hate them. And the work versus baby balance when you're self-employed. So get a cup of tea. You deserve it. Don't feel guilty. And listen to this. And here she is, Hannah George.
Hello.
Looking very lovely. For those that are not watching on YouTube, the obligatory mum top knot.
Absolutely. Hasn't been washed for nigh on 5 days.
Well, come on. I've just had a hair wash. But I think
it looks great.
Thank you. I think it's better when you don't wash it, isn't it?
It sort of stays in the same place a little bit easier.
Find a few things in there and that, you know, a few little.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But that's what I quite like these days. As we know, being a mum, it's difficult to find time to shower. So I like to have a proper, like, bath these days. And it really counts as well, because I'm disgusting by the time I've had that bath and washed my hair. And I feel amazing afterwards. I had a bath every day in my previous life and washed my hair every day. For a start, not good for the hair. Secondly, I was wasting my life. Because I'm a writer, I called it my ideas bath. So every day I'd have an ideas bath. But really, I'd just have a lovely bath. But these days, I can scrub skin off myself. It's been so long.
A little meditation time, isn't it?
It's lovely.
I actually, you know, when you run the bath water out and you go back later and there was actually a rim. Oh my God. But some of that's because I now have two little boys that want to get in the bath with me.
And
I'm getting to the bit where it's like the oldest one. I feel bad because I've got to say to him, I think you're too old now, but, you know.
It's difficult, isn't it? Yeah, that's my sort of, like, so far, I've not had any of those moments of, like, oh, she's too old for this or whatever. And I hate that because you feel like you're essentially stealing their childhood.
Yeah, so it's Lily is 16 months now.
She's called Lil, not Lily. I don't really like the name Lily, but I love the name Lil. Lillian is her full name.
Lillian.
Because we were like, well, unfortunately, her name would just be Lil George, which makes her sound like a rapper, to be honest. So I was just like...
Look, I've got a son called Buster, so come on.
Love it, love it. So we thought, yeah, let's do Lillian for full name, but really she is Lil. She might at some point want to be a Lily. Who knows?
Well, they always do. That'll be Lillian. Yeah, Mum.
Oh my God, if that's all it is, if she's like a 17-year-old that's like, yeah, it's Lily, bitch, I'll just be like, that's fine.
Okay, before we get right stuck in, we'll do a little warm-up, which I thought you would appreciate because it always harks me back to those Saturday morning TV days when you were a kid.
Yes, please.
And the kids in the audience would ask the celebrity, like, what do you like, chips or mash? And so it's in that vein. So here we go. Quick fire round. Hannah George. Voice notes, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Okay, we're going to go back to them. Planned or surprises?
Planned.
Books or movies?
Movies.
Teething or tantrums? I don't know if you've got to tantrums yet.
Oh, no, we're starting to get the sort of like the first little hints of them. Teething she was all right with, so I'm going to go teething.
Okay. Clearing up sick or poo?
Ooh.
I mean, not a general out and about in the world.
I think poo, because it's you have to do it every single day, you just get used to it.
You do become immune to it. Have you got to the stage where you're like, before you'd be so all, and then you're going out and you notice a bit of poo on your finger and you just sort of go, oh yeah, and just wipe it on your trousers.
Do you know what? I haven't got to that point with poo yet, but certainly with like snot, she's had a runny nose. And I'm just like, I'll just do it on my like shirt sleeve. I'll just like this morning I got her nose with my top. And then, you know, like 20 minutes later, I look down, it's all crusted. And I just thought, oh, I thought it would, I don't know why I thought it would just disappear or get soaked into my top. But that's not how it happens, apparently.
It's a little reminder for you all day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And also, like what I found is that washing powder and stuff, it doesn't get any stains out ever. Like all of these adverts that are always like, because I realized how little my clothes were stained before having a child. And I was just like, yeah, washing powder's great. And now I'm like, there's literally nothing work. So we just live with sort of washed stains, which is, you know, I don't care, but
I'll say this and then please can you sponsor us, Flash? But I have the Flash spray.
Okay.
My thing is now the kids' school shirts, they're really filthy because he sort of does this thing where he rubs his chin.
Okay.
It's absolutely black. It's terrible. So I spray it. So yeah, I don't get poo stuff so much. I mean, I've got to the stage, if they've got skids in, I've got two boys, if they've got skids in their pants, I just throw them away now. I can't do it.
That is very decadent.
Yes. Would you say you were quite sort of like clean freak before?
No, to be fair, no.
In answer. I mean, I don't think of you as someone gross, though. I don't think of you as, like...
No, I'm not. And thank you. I appreciate that.
The best compliment you've had all day.
It's kind of the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. But yeah, no, I wasn't a clean freak before, or necessarily a tidy freak. Because what I've realised is it's just kind of, like, organisation and order and structure is great for my life now. It means that we can get everything done. It means everyone knows where they are. I think she benefits from it. I'm saying this, I'm staring at just a floor full of toys that I haven't picked up from this morning, but that sort of doesn't bother me. Like I read a thing the other day about how housework and cleaning is, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's about the way that it stops particularly women getting on with their lives and their work. And particularly when you work from home, I think of myself as just a real feminist icon for not cleaning up. But particularly when these days I don't have enough time to do all the work that I have. So I have to be like, right, I can't just tidy up these toys for 5 minutes because that's 5 minutes away from actually working. So yeah, basically I'm not tidy as a rule, but in the time that I'm supposed to be working, but the rest of the time I'll try and keep on top of things because it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Well, this is the thing, you know, people say, oh, don't bother. You've got to for your own sanity.
Yeah.
The minute I let it go a bit, it's like, you're going to pay for that.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for thinking you could relax.
Yeah.
Got to keep going. I think what people want to know and what people be interested a lot on this podcast is you and your partner are both performers, creatives.
Yes.
And we were together quite a while before you had a baby.
Yeah. I mean, we had our 10th anniversary last year. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been together for like 11 years almost.
And can I ask, was you always going to have a kid? Because I think for me, it was a surprise.
Oh, really? Were you just not sure if you were within your relationship or just within
no,
your
I meant
kind
you.
Of life?
I was.
Oh, me? Sorry.
Yeah.
Ow.
That's wrong to say. Oh, you surprised me. I didn't think you wanted kids. I didn't mean like that. I remember you were always really sweet whenever I brought Huxley out and stuff. But yeah, I was like, oh, you know when you're like, oh, they could go one way or the other.
Yeah, interesting.
We're both successful, creative people, and it's hard having a kid. But was it always on the cards or was it kind of like not bothered?
Yeah, no, I think I've always kind of, I've never been like, I have to, I definitely 100%. But I've always sort of, you know, maybe 90% known that that is something that I wanted to do. I feel like even when I was 20 and starting stand-up back then, I was kind of thinking, right, I'm doing stand-up with a view of becoming a writer because actually the stand-up lifestyle isn't very conducive to having a family. So I know that even then I was making career choices and life choices about having a kid. And then I'd always save up money because I knew that one day I'd want to sort of be able to afford nursery so that I can continue to work, because you put a decade into sort of building a career and then you have a kid, and then for a lot of people suddenly it can kind of be very difficult to work again.
Wow, that is so sensible. I wish I'd spoke to you 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I come at things quite sort of sensibly, just because I was like, well, I knew I didn't want to have a kid until a lot later. So I mean, I say a lot later, I think I was 36 when I had Lil, so that was obviously last year, and I knew I wanted to have established myself in a career. I knew that I wanted to have enough savings that I could put her into nursery and then not have to panic about not having any work, because like you say, Toby and I are both creatives, so sometimes we're working, sometimes we're not. So yeah, I wanted to make sure I'd done that. But yeah, I think I always knew that I wanted to, and now that I've done it, I'm like, oh god, of course, like, of course I wanted to. But I never got broody either, because I thought it would hit me like a ton of bricks when I got to sort of 35 or something.
Right.
But actually the broodiness was never there. It was just me sort of going, right, this feels like a sensible time.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I've always got from you that you had a really happy childhood.
Yeah,
and it's particularly like pictures you put up, I think, oh, she just looks like she had such a lovely upbringing. And so do you think that's got something to do with it as well? Like,
yeah, I think so. I always talk about the fact that my mum is just like just the greatest mum. Like, I just adore her, and she's so good, and she always has been ever since we were kids. I think a lot of the time people don't want to sort of repeat the patterns of their childhood or their parents, but like, I'm like, there's a lot of pressure to be just half as good as my mum was. I'm just a bit like, oh god. And, you know, and there's things that we've done differently. Like, my mum, obviously, well, she had three kids, and I think we're just going to stay with one kid. So she sort of didn't go back to work very quickly in the way that I did. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, maybe I should have stayed off work because my mum did and I had a nice childhood. But I'm also a different person to my mum. And, you know, I know that I'm happier if I'm able to work as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing. I can't remember where I read a thing about the fact that it was just a quote about the fact that when you have a kid, you used to be the picture and now you're the frame. And I think that's really nice. But it's sweet, isn't it?
Love that. That's probably the answer why I've got no frames in my pictures. I don't know what that metaphor is. Lazy mum. I should have said at the top, actually, I'm aware for other people that for me, this is just like a catch up with you, because I feel like you obviously made a conscious decision to be private online. I mean, I have not seen one picture of this little one.
Yes.
WhatsApp me one, because I'm like...
I will. Do you know what? That's a really sort of proper thing that we had to consider. You know, there's lots of things that we're like, oh, you know, we'll do things this way, we'll do things that way. But I feel like that's a proper big choice that you have to make as a parent, is the social media thing. And for me, like, it was right up until she was born, I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to put her online or not. It was literally the day that she was born that I'd made the decision not to, because I felt like so wildly protective of her. I was like, even if somebody says something or puts a comment that is anything other than she is the most gorgeous baby I've ever seen in my life, I will hunt them down and kill them. So I was just like, oh, for my own sort of my own sanity, it's up to her whether or not we put pictures up and stuff, and privacy and stuff like that. But really, it's because I don't want to have to kill a bunch of people.
Right, that's good to know. But like, you don't talk, unless I've missed it, you don't talk massively about being a mum. Is that not a conscious decision, or...?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't post that much on social media anyway. Oh, so it's kind of like, I'm kind of not that sort of vocal on there. I think on the podcast on Drunk Women Solving Crime, it comes up a lot.
Yeah, because of course.
It's kind of like, you know, that is my life now. And I'll never sort of deliberately not talk about being a mum because it's a massive part of my life and who I am now. And I don't care if some people find it boring or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, with the podcast, I was like, oh, I don't want people to think, oh, it's a parenting podcast now, or that Hannah only talks about Will. But I'm just like, well, that's my podcast. What do I like?
Yeah. No, good. Because I think there used to be, and you probably know, like in stand-up, you used to feel like you couldn't talk about having a kid because it was almost like, let's just pretend they don't exist because we might not get booked for work.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, in your world, you write a lot of stuff for children's TV, so it's been an advantage.
Yeah, it is a weird thing where I feel like, actually, yeah, in the world I'm in kids' telly, although obviously there are disadvantages in the sense that I don't have as much time to work or whatever, I definitely feel like I'm even more qualified for my job now, which is good.
Has she inspired anything particularly to do with children's TV?
Not really. I mean, I kind of, you know, I've watched a few shows because this is the thing, like the only children's shows that I've watched are the ones that I work on. But now I've watched a few more, if you see what I mean.
Oh, we always love you and your favourites. What do you love and what do you...
Well, we watch Something Special. That's quite a popular one with Lil, which is it's Mr. Tumble. So it's Justin Fletcher. And he just goes around...
giving me a little shiver. Like, oh God, brilliant. But you just have a lot of it when they're at that age.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I've written for Justin Fletcher before, so I've watched quite a lot of his stuff. Maybe it's because we've watched quite a few episodes now. There's something about him that is genuinely brilliant. He's genuinely got funny bones, you know, when someone's just funny. Yeah, sometimes Toby and I can just be absolutely rolled up at something he's done. And like, you know, Lil's kind of not that bothered. Yeah, so I like that. And then there's a show called Yakkadee, which I quite like.
Oh, that used to be a favourite. Yakkadee.
Really?
Yakkadee. You've got the wonders of Bluey and that to look forward to, I guess.
Do you know, we started, at the very beginning, we started watching a few episodes of Bluey. But Lil's got this thing where she loves the theme tune and she'll dance to the theme tune and then we'll just crawl away when the show starts.
Might not be ready. That's a good sign, I'd say.
Yeah, probably. Although sometimes she'll look at me and she'll just go, tumble, which means she wants to watch Something Special.
So aggressive.
I know, it's hilarious.
Assertive, I love that.
Hello, you're listening to the Funny Mummy Podcast. Can I have a snack now?
I don't know if this will quite apply to you just yet. Whenever I ask people if they've had something that's blocked their mum day, some people are like... Well, one happens every day. Okay. And it does. And it could be a tiny thing that you've like, you've planned the day and then your delivery didn't come. So you have to go to the post office to collect it. And you're like, I had all this planned. And that was my day.
Oh, man. I mean, you're completely right that something happens most days. The one that I thought of is kind of, it didn't really derail my day as like really upset me. So here goes. So basically, I was walking, when she was really little, I was pushing her in the pram down the high street where I live. And she was crying. She was really screaming. She was doing the sort of, do you remember the witching hour?
Yeah. Was it 4 till 5?
Yeah, sort of like around that time, just basically afternoon, evening. And it was before that, but she'd been doing a lot of screaming. It was raining a little bit. I picked her up out of her pram in the high street and this woman sort of like walked past me and she opened her mouth to say something. And I thought she was going to say, oh, it gets easier because, you know, obviously. But she did not. She shouted, hold her properly, and then walked off.
No way!
I know, and I was so shocked because for a start, I was holding her properly. I know exactly how to hold her. She was obviously screaming, but that's what babies do. And normally, like right now, I can just sort of, you know, I wish I'd just said, oh, and fuck you, you know, but I didn't. I just burst into tears.
Oh, of course and, like, you did.
And it was really, really horrible. And that was a real sort of day derailer because I found, like genuinely, even from just being pregnant, like living in London, people would get up on the tube, they would open doors. People had been so kind, and having the baby as well, I'd never experienced any kind, which is really lovely. People in CAFs would come over and the staff everywhere, it's so nice. And then just suddenly get this really aggressive kind of, And I knew that I was on borrowed time in terms of not having had a horrible experience. Like, I knew. But then, like, on my way home, as I was sort of, like, just crying on my way home, I'd stopped outside this church, and this little old lady in the church was like, do you want to come inside and feed her inside? And so she invited me. And, like, you know, it would be great if I could end this story by saying, I found God. I didn't. I found a really nice old lady and a dry place to sit.
Well, that is God, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolute heaven. And then, yeah, in the end, I just, like, called Toby to come and, like, it was, like, to come and collect me. Like, I hadn't had to become someone to come and collect
me
since I was sick at school. That was just the wrong time. You know, I'd had no sleep, still quite hormonal, and it was just exactly the wrong thing to have happened.
Yeah.
And then Toby was so angry, he was just like, oh, this woman's such a cunt, which really made me laugh, because I was like, yes, good, yes, that's how I feel.
So- yeah, that's what you need. You just need someone sharing that anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a few things like that. And funny enough, my other question was going to be like, because people do just think you're public property when you're pregnant or when you've got a baby. They sort of think you can say and give advice. So yeah, that's perfect that you said that. And obviously you will get the yin and yang. And it's just nice that it finished off with that lady that was just nice.
It was really nice.
Yeah. And I guess when you're less tired and hormonal and everything, you can sort of go, well, that woman's probably having a bad day and all that sort of thing. But yes, at that time, it's like, no, you don't need to hear that today.
Yeah, exactly. Thinking back, there are also times, really, basically, anytime anyone says anything about the baby. Like, I remember coming out of a calf once. It was in the winter. And I think Lil, like, no, she was completely bundled up. And this, again, this old lady who'd just come out of a cafe in front of me. She sort of turned round and she looked in the pram and she said, oh, I think she's a bit cold. And I was like, you've just seen me walk out of the calf. And then I sort of said to her, oh, no, I think she's fine. And I was very polite because I was in a better place. And I was just like, do you know what? She's fine. And then we sort of carried on walking. We were walking in the same direction. But about a minute later, the woman turned to me again and she went, I hope you didn't mind me saying that. And I was like, oh, no, no, it's absolutely fine. And then part of me was like, oh, maybe she was trying to get a rise out of me. Maybe she knew that if she sort of says anything sort of like vaguely negative to a new mother, that she might get an argument. And then I thought, oh, maybe she's just very lonely. But I don't know. I always tend to try and find the best.
God bless her soul, but an auntie, she's now no longer with us. Mm. But she would be quite outspoken. And I genuinely think she thought she was being helpful.
Oh, boy.
By saying to me, just after I'd had my baby and I went to get another biscuit, she went, maybe don't have two. You know?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm breastfeeding. I'm going to eat all the chocolate digestives. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
She used to say stuff like that all the time. And I just think she, in her head, thought she's helping. And I wonder if it's that. But it's like, yeah. Wow.
That's outrageous.
Oh, it's funny, isn't it? Just think before you speak, old ladies.
Yeah, 100%. And now, like, you know, because occasionally I'll see a new mum and there's nothing sort of, I always try and catch myself because I'm sort of like out of the new mum thing and I'm into sort of toddlerdom. I look at sort of new parents and I think, oh, I know a thing that worked for me and I could tell them about it. And then I'm like, oh, actually, you have to watch yourself because you become that person that's saying, why aren't you doing it like this? When really you think you're being helpful.
Yeah.
Or trying to sort of find my words a little bit like, oh, do you know what worked for me? Rather than going, why didn't you just do that?
The most beautiful thing I saw on the train was this couple. She looked so tired, bless her. And she had the baby in a sling. And she was having one of those sort of discussions with her partner. You know, it's just like, no, I don't. I don't know what they were saying. The baby was crying and they couldn't stop it from crying. What? Not a massive cry.
Sure.
And I could see whatever he was saying, he could not say the right thing. And he was being very, to be honest, he was being very patient and nice, but obviously she was knackered.
Yeah.
But just before they got off, this woman went up to him and she just sort of put her hand on his shoulder and went, is there anything I can do? But it was really nice. It was very motherly and nurturing. It wasn't like, he's rubbish. Wasn't slagging off the man. It was like they had a buggy as well. So I think she helped him get the buggy off because it was almost like they both didn't know what they wanted.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to remember that. Like, because sometimes when you see a mum in distress, you don't know what to say or do. And I thought, even if I can just go, is there anything I can do?
Yes, exactly.
You know, it might be nothing, but I was definitely one of those mums that I'd have loved somebody. I would have gone, yep, yeah, here you go.
Yeah. Exactly. Come round and clean the kitchen, because that is ideal. I always remember, it wasn't a mum thing, but I remember being on a bus once in London, and there was this woman on the back, and it was a packed bus, and she'd obviously just got a text message or had just had a phone call that I think someone had died. She was just in floods of tears. And I sort of like, I was looking around at everyone. I was like, why isn't anyone doing anything? And I looked at myself and I'm like, why aren't I doing anything? I'm sat so close to her. And then this woman next to her just took her hand and just held it. And they just sat there. It was a sort of like, I don't know, she was older. She was probably about 20 years older than me, because I think I was about 20 at the time. And I think because I was 20, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, of course.
And this woman was maybe about 40. And I thought, oh, when I'm about 40, I'd love to have confidence to know what to do in that situation, and just to sort of just be human to another human being. But I think you kind of have to sort of grow into that. I certainly wasn't confident enough to do that. But I thought that was lovely. That's always stayed with me a bit, like, is there anything I can do?
Still a bit of a risk, though. I could have gone another way, couldn't it?
Could have got a slap around the face, yeah.
Yeah. Right, we don't want to run out of time for our regular little item. Started this up because my sister likes to voice note me. And after this, we'll get to why you don't like voice notes. About TV recommendations. And so I said to her, because, you know, as parents, you just don't want to spend time flicking through. You might only have an hour of awake time.
Yes.
And my other remit was, doesn't have to be topical stuff. So I never know. It could be something from
exciting
1980s. So this is my sister with Mum Watch. Let's see what she's telling us to watch on this episode.
Oh, hello, Hattie. It's me again. Another one of my reviews. Not that I tried to make these fit together, but they're both about human relationships, but the love, the romantic ones. So the first one I'm doing is Tell Me Lies. It's an American drama. It's a little bit, I've got to say, they do have a fair bit of nookie. And it's a bit raunchy, but
I'm in.
And it did sometimes get a little bit much watching it with my daughters. But there's enough in it that you go, oh, this is all right. This is not just, you know, it's not, there's enough there. After an episode, might be two episodes, two seasons, after two episodes, a girl dies, bless her, and then it becomes a bit more of a
spoiler.
I'm gonna say.
It starts to unfold. We follow Lucy, who's starting at, I think in America they call it college, but it would be uni, so she leaves home, and she's a bit of a, you know, I'm not soft or anything. I'm a bit of an hard nut. I don't know if that's really what she does. But, you know, she's not romantic. She says she's never been in love. And oh, she meets Stephen, who is, oh, this is a spoiler, but he's a rotter. Oh, look away from him. So that's two seasons of that. The next one is a biggie. I've been saving it. I mean, I feel like everyone knows it. If you've had heartbreak, or you ever think you might, this is the film to watch. Bridges of Madison County. Yep, I've gone there. Oh, when I first watched it, because I love Meryl Streep. Anybody who knows me knows I love Meryl. But I weren't really a fan of Clint Eastwood. I was like, I don't know. You know, the look of him, and he is getting on in it, but fell in love with him just like Meryl did. It's not called Meryl in this. But it's all about her family go away for 4 days. After I watched the movie for the first time, Bridges of Madison County, there is a book of the same name. And I believe that the author of the book is the character in it who's the travelling photographer for National Geographic, which is played by Clint. But I read the book. Yeah, I went straight out, got the book ready. And I don't normally like to do that, but the story, it's hard.
That's it. There's no turning off.
I've written that down, though. I've written down Bridges of Madison County.
Do you like a heartbreak, though, Hannah?
Do you know what? I don't mind it. I like a drama. I like something that's a bit... It just depends on mood, doesn't it, really? Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, give me something that's going to make me weep. And then other times I'm like, I'm not ready for that at all.
Yeah. Bridges of Madison County might not be one for, like, if you're like a really new mum and the hormones are all over the place, or if you're it might be a good one if you're in a relationship you don't really want to be in anymore. But yeah, she got me onto it. I can't watch it. It just gets me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we were talking off air about it with lovely producer, and we're saying, I think it's about timing, because I think, okay, if I watched it now, I might think differently.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I just realised, that Tell Me Lies, I don't know that one. But yeah, I think that's the first spoiler she's given. She doesn't normally give spoilers, but...
I love it. Just go in straight in on series two, like, easy. Also, I love you don't hear the word rotter enough. Really enjoyed that, no, the use of rotter. Yeah.
Rotter.
What a rotter. Love that.
If you've got anything you'd love to, if you feel free, if you've got anything you'd love to recommend.
Oh, well, do you know what? We've just got to the sort of, like, I mean, it's, like I say, like Lil's 16 months, and we've just got to the point where she's starting to sort of, the last few months, go to bed at about sort of between 7 and 8. And generally we've got 2 hours before we have to go to sleep. So we've just started watching things again. Like, I've got a list on my phone. I think it's like, at last count, 107 films and TV shows that I've been recommended over the last year, because I'm like, there hasn't been any time. But I recently, what did I recently watch? Oh my God, well, recently Celebrity Bear Hunt has been the biggest one for us.
No, but I can imagine that's a good one. Sometimes you just don't want anything too heavy.
Exactly. Sometimes you're just like, is it a bit silly? Is it kind of like in a sort of place that looks quite nice? And is it bonkers? Yes, it is. And that's the last one that we've kind of like, we don't generally binge anything because we just sort of can't. But that was the one that, like, we binged it, say, over 2 weeks, but it was every single time we had an opportunity, we watched an episode of that. That's my go-to.
When you were like, when she was tiny baby, did you watch? Because that I used to, that was my favourite time. I used to go, oh yes, I'm going to watch a Netflix binge at 11 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so much. I remember someone telling me, like, oh, you'll be able to watch a lot of telly and stuff at the beginning. And I was like, but how? And then it's because they sleep all the time. So I got obsessed with, like, I watched every documentary I could about cults.
On brand?
Yeah.
Sort of,
yeah. And that was really, like, I don't know why I did it, because some of them were quite, like, I mean, they're all quite sad, to be honest. But yeah. I don't know why. I just got really into that. And I remember one, like, afternoon, well, across two afternoons, we watched all the, what was it, the Da Vinci Code, Angels versus Demons, and the other one. Because we'd never watched them. And they're sort of like, you know, not the best movies in the world. I have a really fond memory of just, yeah, we just watched all of those movies across a couple of days. And that was really nice.
Yeah, you've got to just enjoy it, guilt-free.
Yeah, what did you watch?
Well, so I breastfed for sort of 6 or 7 months. And so there was a lot of me, boobs out,
yeah,
watching Women Who Kill or whatever, like.
I love it. It's just like,
it's the weirdest thing. And Jane the Virgin, which is something I would never really watch.
No.
But I really got into it. And I was like, who was I? I don't know. But again, I think I just needed something a bit silly.
Yes.
That's not usually me. And also it was like loads of series. So you sit there. There's always that funny thing, isn't there, of like you fall asleep and you wake up and you go, oh God. Just 3 episodes of play to themselves.
Yeah.
No, I
exactly.
Don't know where I fell asleep at.
Yeah, I can't watch anything to, like, a series that's too narrative, because you can just so very easily miss massive parts of it. I'd watched the first series of Severance and really enjoyed it, and then tried the second series a couple of nights ago. It's quite soporific. It's quite kind of like, the music is all kind of like, and I, like, within 3 minutes I was asleep. And I kept waking up and then falling asleep again, because it's a great show. But it's just like, there's something about the music and the way it is that
did
I
you
can't stay awake.
I found that there's certain things. I love horrors and stuff.
Yeah.
After having a baby, I don't know what it is. Can't watch anything too scary now.
No, I completely know what you mean. I was very like, now I think I'm slightly back into it. But like, I was very sensitive for at least the first year. I found it really difficult to watch anything where, and it's silly, and it was, I mean, it's very on the nose, anything where a baby was hurt,
yes,
or a child was hurt. And it's like, I'm sure I cared about babies and children before,
yeah,
but suddenly it kind of, yeah, it went like 100 times. And then anything we tried to watch, it was mad, like just anything, suddenly there would be something in it to do with something happening to a kid or a baby. I could be watching fucking The Chase and something awful. But, you know, it would just be insane. So I did a lot to try and avoid that. Because why put yourself through it?
It will come, but I'm getting better now. I mean, my oldest is 9, so...
Okay.
So now I can watch zombie stuff and watch heads being ripped off. So you got that to look forward to.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
Right, we're going to wrap up this part of the podcast for those not on Patreon. I think that's the official title. So is there anything you want to big up? I mean, not that your wonderful podcast needs bigging up. It's obviously...
Oh, yeah, no, please. I mean, drunk women solving crime as ever. Yeah, it's just loads of fun. And I think that it's really kind of like, just in terms of having that to do as a job, it was one of the first things that I came back to after sort of having a bit of maternity leave. And it's so fun that I've managed to sort of have a job that's essentially a bit of a social life. It's like with you, it's like right now, we're sort of like just catching up. Because there's like a weird sense of, I don't know whether you find this, of like a weird sense of guilt of not being work. Like, for example, Lil's at nursery today. I have to feel like I have to be working. Whereas, you know, I couldn't just go out for lunch with someone, which I've done, you know, but there is sort of still a sense of guilt to it. And that's what I love about drunk women is that I get to go out, drink, see my friends, meet some new people, have a bloody laugh. And it feels like, well, it doesn't feel like work. I guess it is. Yeah. So I would say, listen, drunk women, because if people stop listening to it, I don't get to drink on nursery days.
So. Yes. So support mums and drinking. Yeah. I imagine it could also be a great late night listen for those doing late night feeds or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not scary true crime as well. That's the other thing, is it's mostly kind of stuff that's not too serious. So we're not going to suddenly do, I mean, there's a few episodes, but you know.
Got to have a bit. Right, okay, we'll let you go this bit.
Okay,
thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And speak to you soon.
Bye!
Thank you, I've been Hattie Ashan, and thank you to my producer, Natalie King. Don't forget to join the gang over on Patreon. Just search for Funny Mummies Podcast with Hattie Ashdown. For the price of a coffee, you could support this podcast. You'll get to hear it first, you'll get a full version, and loads of other perks. Come join the Funny Mummies community.
Happy Mother's Day!
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.